bar, and I put foam in my socks. So on my hockey card, it would say 6'2", 207. But in reality, in junior, I was about 6'4", 185. You know what, Mitch, I used to do at home when I was 13? I used to put a hat down over my eyes, and I used to put Vaseline and pepper on my face to look like stubble. So I'd been into bars, and my first bar I was ever in Montreal, we were on a Pee Wee hockey tournament here, and I went into Chez Paris. I got in that way. No joke.
Oh, we told you. We always get some tall tales from Terry Ryan, Confessions of a First-Round Nothing, who's back in town, the former Habs first-round pick. I think it was 95. I once compared him favorably to Rick Tockett. Hey, we all make mistakes. He's in town for the World 3-on-3 Ball Hockey Championships north of Montreal. His team is actually representing Ireland, and they don't play until 11 o'clock tonight. So his curfew after last night's games was 9 o'clock this morning. Along with Rod Francis and Mitch Gallo until 7 o'clock every Wednesday at this time, we welcome from TSN, Mr. Gord Miller. How you doing?
I'm very well, sir. You know, by the way, just in Terry's defense, he was a very good player. And if NFL teams had to draft players out of high school, they would have a much lower success rate. It's very hard to project players. There's a lot of factors that go into making it and not making it. And so I wouldn't say he's a first-round nothing. I would say that he's a guy who was a really good player, and it just didn't pan out for him.
That's right. And there were some health issues involved, and there were some off-ice issues involved. But he looked like the kind of player that seemed elusive for the Canadiens for so long, a power forward who would protect his teammates and contribute offensively. And like you said, it just didn't pan out.
Can I tell you my favorite draft story real quick?
Sure.
In the early 80s, the Washington Capitals were a dumping ground for the Philadelphia Flyers. Ed Snyder would put his arm around old man Polan and dump some broken-down Broad Street bully on him and get a first-round pick. So the Capitals finally put an end to that. And at the 82 draft, they really wanted Ron Sutter from the Lethbridge Broncos. Really wanted him. The Flyers moved up to number 4 and drafted him. And Jack Button, Craig's dad, slammed his hand on the table and said, "I'll find out who the leak was of the Flyers. You'll be done in this game. You're done. Take the next guy on our list." Scott Stevens.
Yeah, what's the old saying? Beggars can't be choosers or something like that. Yeah. So Gord, you know, we're talking about the World Cup of Hockey, and Canada plays Europe today after knocking the U.S. out. And we'll get to that aspect in a second. But while we were on the air here, I mean, I can only imagine. I'm getting reaction on Twitter and via text that this to the fans watching, and I know that everybody has short memories, but a lot of people are saying they just witnessed the best 3-on-3 overtime they've ever seen.
It's pretty good. I just finished watching it. It was pretty good. And Nathan MacKinnon's goal is unbelievable. There's no question the hockey's good. The question is it what people want at this time of the year, and is it what people want to replace the Olympics? And in my mind, make no mistake about it, this is being positioned to replace NHL participation in the Olympics. So,
but don't the players have a huge say in that?
No.
They don't?
No. The NHL will decide if it goes to the Olympics or not.
So this will not be, okay, Ovechkin making a stand and crossing that line and others following?
To be honest, and I like Ovechkin, but if he's under contract with a National Hockey League team, and presumably he will be at that time, if he just takes off the Olympics, he'll be suspended, and the IHF honors suspensions. So he'd be a suspended player. He would not be allowed to participate in the Olympics.
So he'd be in no man's land.
We can't just leave.
But you'd have to think that the league would use this in a negotiation, right? Knowing the players want to go.
Well, I mean, whether the players want to go is, quite frankly, irrelevant. A lot of owners don't want to go. I think I've pulled, you know, management and ownership people that I know. In the United States, out of the 23 owners in the U.S., I think it would be about 18 or 19 would vote no. And then in Canada, I think most would vote yes to go.
Why is that? Why do the Canadian owners understand the longer-term benefits?
No, because benefits? They don't have as much to lose. I mean, if you own the San Jose Sharks, okay, the A's and the Giants start playing in early April. The 49ers and the Raiders stop playing at the end of December. You have basically a 7 or 8 week window where you have the market to yourself and the Golden State Warriors. And you're going to shut down every 4 years for 3 weeks in the middle of that prime season.
I understand the concern.
And they get nothing for it. I'm not, the biggest corporations in the world pay billions of dollars to be associated with the Olympics. There's value to it.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem for NHL owners is they can't put it on a spreadsheet. You can't assign that to a spreadsheet. Whereas with this tournament, each team's going to get about $1 million.
Just thinking about your scenario with Ovechkin, right? That's a slippery slope that you're talking about, because if Ovechkin says, I'm going to the Olympics, I don't care what you say, and then the NHL turns around and suspends him, and they respect that suspension, he doesn't play in the Olympics, Ovechkin can...
He doesn't like that. He doesn't like where the conversation's going, clearly.
What Ovechkin can do is he can...
Did this happen yesterday with LeBron and Burnside? This is about this time of the night, huh? Usually when Rod runs out to get a coffee crisp or an O'Henry or something, he goes down to the vending machine every day at like 6:11. Today he decided to stay.
Good thing.
Anyway, you were.
I was saying Ovechkin can
turn
around.
You've totally thrown Gord Miller for a loop here.
Ovechkin can turn around and he could say, oh yeah, you guys are going to suspend me, not let me play in the Olympics. All right. I'm going to bounce. I'm going to go play in SKA St. Petersburg with my friends Kovalchuk and Datsyuk. You're not going to see me in the NHL anytime soon.
Right.
The NHL wants to lose its second biggest star.
All right. I think we have Gord back again. Do we have Mr. Miller, who has been immortalized now forever, apparently, in a donut, which I wasn't planning to get to yet, but are you back, Gord?
Hey, I'm here now. I heard that.
We'll get to that in a second, but I'd like Mitch to finish his question to you, because it's a good one.
Yeah, just the slippery slope with a guy like Ovechkin. Let's say he says he's going to go play at the Olympics. The NHL says you're suspended. He could turn around and say, oh, yeah, you're going to suspend me, not let me play in the Olympics that way. I'm going to bounce and go play with my friends Kovalchuk and Datsyuk and SKA St. Petersburg.
Problem is the KHL also honors NHL contracts, so he would be a man without a contract. Without permission, he can't just go anywhere.
Really? What?
Yeah.
Well, Voinov
NHL
is playing,
and the KHL honor each other's contracts.
So he'll start his own league.
I remember Kovalchuk bouncing, though.
Huh?
I remember Kovalchuk just bouncing.
What do you mean
bouncing? Kovalchuk had a contract with the Devils.
The Devils gave him permission.
Okay. Big difference.
The Devils gave him permission to go. And there were all kinds of cap implications for New Jersey that had to be sorted out. But you cannot just go to another league. You have to, because then the NHL could go in and read KHL contracts, right, and just pick up whoever they wanted.
Okay, so if you're an American, really hardcore, not so much media, but if you're an American hockey fan and you were really looking forward to the return of hockey to ESPN and watching the Americans punch Canada in the mouth and take this World Cup, it was going to bring American hockey to another level. Where are you at right now?
I think you're right where you were after Sochi. You're right where you were after a lot of these tournaments, and you're wondering what happened. And I really think, you know, Patrick Kane was the MVP of the NHL last year, and he's the best American player in the league. No question about it. He's a superstar. But think about the team that won the 96 World Cup for the U.S., Kachuk, Amonte, Modano, Roenick, Hull, Guerin, Leach, Chelios. Where are those players now? Where are those American players? They don't have them. After Patrick Kane, who's the next best American in the NHL?
Johnny Gaudreau.
Well, they're
under 23, right?
You're into Pacioretty. You're into, and Matt's a good player, but you're into, you know, Parisi, Pacioretty, who are good players. But they're not MVP caliber players. In the 80s and the 90s, guys, American players were contenders every year for the MVP award and for the Norris Trophy. Every year. And to lead the league in goal scoring. And that's not the case anymore.
That's interesting. I mean, yeah, go ahead.
I think the National Team Development Program they have, the Ann Arbor program, has really hurt their development.
How so?
They take the 40 best players out of their system at the age of 17 and 18 and they segregate them, A, they create a sense of entitlement, and B, they take them out of the system. Sidney Crosby playing in the Quebec League made 250 other players better, because playing against him makes you a better player. Patrick Kane went to London, by the way. You know, as an 18-year-old, as a 17-year-old, he went to London played for the Knights.
Chris Chelios, Hall of Fame. Phil Housley, Hall of Fame. Brett Hull, Hall of Fame. Pat LaFontaine, Hall of Fame. Brian Leach, right. Hall of Fame. Mike Richter. Is Mike Richter going in the Hall of Fame, or is he in the Hall of Fame? Did I miss that? I don't know about... Oh, my goodness. Where is he calling from?
From his home in Toronto.
My goodness. Garrett, Keith Tkachuk, Doug Waite, Scott. Yeah, I'm just looking at the roster of the 96 Canada Cup. Point well taken, but to your point... under 23. That's in terms of sheer talent.
Johnny Gaudreau, Jack Eichel, Austin Matthews. Looks like their future is good, but certainly the team now. Gordon's right. It's really after Patrick Kane. You're getting to the second tier of good players, but not on the level of Canada's top players.
I think. Gord should flip over to Bell at this point, I think.
Well, you know what? You know what's weird? I'm in a temporary home. We had to move out of the house because we're renovating it, and this new home has terrible cell service. We'll get this sorted out next week.
Okay. No, okay. So what did you do? Jog down to the end of the street?
I'm outside, but they're cutting down a tree, which is making a lot of noise. This is just... We're going to have to persevere today, guys.
Okay.
We're going to have to knuckle up.
Just a couple of more minutes. But, that you know, I was just listing the roster of the 96 to your point. So what happens now in terms of the game tonight? It's Canada and Europe, and the North Americans, after this overtime win against Sweden, apparently a couple of them believe that they had clinched, but they haven't actually clinched yet.
I don't believe they have, because it's dependent on the results tomorrow, right? I mean, it's a crazy format. What would have been a much better format would have been to have the eight teams in it. The top three qualify for the playoffs. Two and three play in the quarterfinals. The 2-1 seeds get a bye into the semifinals. But now, the game tomorrow night between the Czechs and the Americans is meaningless.
Right. How about that? Is that that primetime game, that's totally meaningless?
Yeah. So, I mean, how could you have that? Whereas if you had the other format that I talked about, the Czechs and the Americans would play, and the winner would go to the quarterfinals. The loser would be out.
So how is this tournament going to be seen in the end, Gord? Like, what was going to be defined as a successful tournament, and what was going to be defined as a failure for a tournament? Was it injuries or strictly
I'm not
ratings?
Out here, Rod, it depends who you are. If you're NHL owners and players, I guess you'd say it's successful because you made a lot of money. The issue is going to be, where's the next one going to be held? Because where else could you sell this thing? And to be honest, there's lots of tickets floating around for this thing. Like, there were empty seats last night. There's a ton of empty seats at the non-Canada games, obviously. Like, if you held it in Montreal, would you sell it out? I don't know.
No, you'd sell out Canadian games. You wouldn't sell out. No, you would. Of course not. Everybody knows the answer to that is no.
So where else could you have it?
Buffalo? Okay.
Not at these prices.
Boston?
I don't think... Well... Edmonton in Canada, Edmonton might support it, maybe. I mean, it's just, I don't know, guys. Like, there doesn't seem to be a ton of buzz around it. Do you sense it, or do you feel a lot of buzz around it?
I'm into it. Once it started, I'm into it.
Yeah,
so I don't know if that qualifies as buzz or not. I think, frankly, most fans are enjoying it, but they can't wait for Canadian season to start.
Yeah, I'd agree. And I'd say only during the games. Like, as the games are being played, it's enjoyable. But outside, there's not much talk about it.
The television ratings have been about average for NHL games. I mean, Canada's first game, I haven't seen the ratings for last night yet, but they had about 1.5 million for the first Canadian game. That's about on par with a Saturday night game. The non-Canada games have been pretty low. But the other thing is, too, the first Super Bowl was half-sold. The first World Cup soccer didn't... I mean, you got to have this thing every 4 years and build it up, right? If you're going to have a real World Cup, then you got to build it up. I think they should tweak it a little bit. I think they should have a play-in tournament in Europe where the Slovaks can play, the Germans, the Swiss, and have a chance to play in the tournament. I don't like this Team Europe concept. But I think they're committed to it. And financially, it's pretty successful. The question is, Are you really going to give up going to the Olympics? That's the key question for me. Are you really going to pass that up?
Is it possible that they will pass it up in the short term, as short as every the next 8 years, and wait until the Olympics return to a more friendly time zone?
I don't know how you do that. I don't know how you cherry pick the Olympics, Mitch. And I don't know that the IOC would allow you to do that. I don't think you can say, well, we're going to go to these Olympics, but not those.
Mm-hmm.
I'd have a hard time seeing how that could happen.
Do you think John Tortorella survives the season in Columbus?
If I had to bet, I would say no. I would say he does not. I just don't think their team's very good. They show some signs, but they're not there yet. And he's so combustible, at some point, someone's going to have to take the fall, and he'd probably be that guy.
All right, and before a tree falls on you, what's the story with the donut?
Oh, so like Tim Hortons, I got an email from Tim Hortons yesterday saying, you're going to be home tomorrow, yeah? Gave him the new address, and they came by with a box of 6 donuts, and 3 of them have my face on them. My daughter just relished and savored biting my head off.
Well, wait a minute. Your face, like in candy form, or like
it's kind of in icing form. I'm gonna say it's like they put a picture on icing.
Hmm.
I'm not gonna lie to you, Mitch. It's a bit disturbing. But and probably less so for me than other people. But I will say that my daughter, who by the way loves your radio program, she's never really heard it.
Yeah.
But she's obsessed with your radio show.
Good for her.
She's obsessed with it because she was on it when she was 4.
Yeah, and she hears one side of the conversation, and it's interesting.
Well, she hears the good side of it.
Yeah.
So anyway, I'm going to get my Fisher-Price phone fixed next week, and we're going to do this again.
All right, and we'll get closer to the start of the NHL season at the same time. Thanks, Gord.
Take care, guys.
Every Wednesday after 6 from TSN, member of the International Hockey Hall of Fame, Gord Miller.